what's going on?
Oh my god.
Saturday, June 26th. Another episode of.
Not June 26th.
27th.
Fuck!
Wrong already.
Start over.
Yeah.
This is gold, Jerry.
We're not starting over.
Okay, ready? Hey, what's going on? This is Spitballs of Fire. Saturday, June 29th. I'm, What? It's June 29th.
Wow.
Okay, one more time from the top, Kyle. Go.
Hey, what's going on? It is Saturday, June 29th. Now that we've all accepted that, my name is Kyle, along with my host, Matt.
Thank you.
And Gary.
Spitballs of Fire!
We are once again bringing the beautiful sound of rational conversation to your sexy ear holes.
Ooh.
I'll make it irrational, though.
Speaking of irrational games, BioShock Infinite.
Oh my god!
Isn't that good?
No, it's pretty good. Yeah.
So, what made me kind of want to play it was I saw a little blurb, and the person who was reviewing it, this is what the review said. It goes, I'm going to paraphrase here, obviously, because I don't have a photographic memory. But, the guy was like, this is the first time I've had an NPC, the girl, the chick, or whatever that runs around with her. He goes, I actually didn't want to shoot her the entire game.
Yeah, no, she's pretty good. She stays out of your way. She can't die, so it's not like a fucking game-long protection mission or whatever. And she fucking throws you money and salts, which are like your mana, and throws you like health packs and stuff.
Whenever mana?
Like bath salts?
Mana's?
Yes, like bath salts.
It's like awesome.
And then Booker just fucking eats people's faces off. Bath salts, yes.
So, okay.
What is this, the Exodus out of Egypt? Fucking mana?
Mana?
Get your mana!
Hot mana here.
Water. Water.
So that sounds like the perfect woman for you, Matt. She stays out of your way and throws you money.
My god, I think you're onto something. Don't worry, we'll talk offline about that. So, okay, Kyle is telling me that you have cried twice while playing The Last of Us.
Yes, both.
Is this true?
And
were there actual tears, or did you just get wet in the eyes?
Like, I got wet in the eyes. There weren't, like, tears rolling, but I wasn't sobbing, but it was just like, oh my god. Like, I played it, and, like, in the first, like, you know, within the first, like, half hour, this scene happens. And then I didn't play it for an entire week, so I replayed it. I restarted the game. And at that same exact point, I'm just like, my god, dude, this is just so powerful. Just fucking, like, Toy Story 3 fucking incinerator. It's just so powerful.
Right on the heartstrings, huh?
Yeah, dude.
Test an emotional core.
So, I mean, so far, what would you give the game 1 out of 10, 10 being the best?
So far, I'm about two and a half hours in. I would give it a good solid, like, 8 right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's very fun.
I'd play anything above an 8.
So what's your 10, then? So crying doesn't bump it up at all, or?
Well, I mean, it has room to improve. I don't know how the rest of the story goes.
Do you have a rate?
I want to finish it before I give it a, like, solid rating.
Do you ever rate a game? Have you ever rated a game as 10?
I don't think so. Like, it would have to be, if anything's close for me, it would have to be Mass Effect 2 or Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Just because I've played them both four times. And I don't do that with games. Mm-hmm. Usually I pick up a game, I play it once, and then I drop it. Like, that game had me coming back. Also, the Resistance 3, I thought, was a 10. Fucking loved that
game. Wow.
Never could get into those.
No, I loved
it. That was a launch title, too, for the PS Resistance one.
Fall of Man.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I gotta check it out. I gotta give it another try.
I even read the novels that came out.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good shit.
Alright, Kyle, so you got a fucking yellow pad here.
I always do.
So what's your...
Coming prepared with stuff here.
Give me something to rant on.
Alright, well... Oh, you want something to rant on?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be a rant.
Okay, so we'll slowly work our way into it.
Yeah, we'll
start slow.
Gotta build up steam.
Okay. So, we all had a few drinks last night.
I only had 5.
It's true.
A light 5.
It's still a few, though, right?
Yeah, if you count the bottle of water, 6.
Yeah.
Well. No, we don't count that.
Okay.
So we all had a few drinks last night. Some of us might have had a little too much. None of us here, maybe some of our friends.
Oh, yeah.
Some of our friends decided to,
To the limit.
No, some of our friends decided to enter the bubble of another said friend.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go well. Well, it wasn't going to go well for him.
Well, it got a little verbally ugly. I mean,
said friend is Matt.
Kyle, yeah, he's talking about
other
me.
Said friend is drunk person who is being retarded.
Shit, I'll say his name, Scott.
Yeah.
Drunk guy A.
Drunk guy.
Yeah, drunk guy
we'll
A.
We'll just say there's drunk guy A, and then there's drunk guy, like, F.
Well, you can call him whatever you want. I'm going to say his name because it involves me. No, basically what happened was, I mean, I'm one of those guys, I just don't like people touching
yeah.
me all the time.
Like, I'm sitting right next to you right now, and that's probably at the limit.
Well, there's a good solid foot, though.
Right, here. But, like, that's probably the closest you want to be to somebody.
Well, yeah, it's comfortable.
For a duration
it's
of time.
Right. So, Scott was doing his thing, and he was all, like,
he was,
high fives.
Yeah, he was, I quote, high fives are my crack.
And
that's when I get douche chills.
Yeah. And I had already high-fived him approximately 89 times.
Wow.
No, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of high-fives.
And I felt like he
that's
had enough.
That's about 88 too many high-fives.
Yeah. I felt like he had enough high-fives. So I had to cut him off.
Yeah. That's all right.
But it got weird, though, when he started threatening me with bodily harm unless I high-fived him. And I replied with the most American thing I can think of, and that's I don't negotiate with terrorists. Because he was threatening to punch my balls.
Yeah.
My testicles.
That's, testes. That should never be a thing.
Unless I high-fived him. And I replied with, if you touch me, I'm going to cave your face in. To which he replied with...
Seems like a pretty...
To which he replied with, I could totally take you, hands down. Scott, you...
Hands up, though. High
yeah,
five.
No shit. He kept... Well, that was the funny part. Like, he would kept trying to say something funny, and then work in and like, oh-ho! And like, throw up the high five. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Any of you out there that are still tapping your friend's balls?
Yeah, dude.
And if it's not for
sack
pleasure
taps
purposes?
Are over.
No, sorry.
What's really in vogue, though, is throat chops.
Hetero sack taps should be outlawed.
Yeah.
Sounds like
you're saying homosexual sack taps are lawful?
No, I'm saying that there might be a sexual thing behind it, so that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you're doing it because you want to touch their balls...
Instead I don't
of
think,
cause
I don't,
them harm,
I don't
then...
think you should punch a man's or violently strike a man's testicles.
No.
Once
no.
it was a life or death situation.
Violently.
Yes. I can't even imagine a life or death situation.
Yeah, I don't even.
Like, are you falling off a cliff and the only thing they can grab is
your
nut
sack?
No, what I'm saying is, like.
How are you falling, dude? Just
I'm
like.
I'm saying, like.
Red Eagle? Maybe it's like Cliffhanger where they're like, it's around their belt, you know, so their legs are like
My
hanging
God.
Behind them and stuff.
Let me fall, man. We already talked about fucking Action Hero's grip.
Oh.
Let me fall.
It's
don't
the
be gripping.
Grip of infinite
yeah,
strength.
Don't be fucking wrapping your strong, powerful fingers around my sack.
I was relating to the fact, like.
Just be a bag of jelly.
You would never hit another man in his balls. That's like bro code right there. Like,
it's super bro code.
Unless it's a fight. If it's a fight, anything goes.
Well, that's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Maybe.
Life or death situation.
There's no honor in fighting.
That's
I'm
when
sorry.
It's all right.
But it has to be a fight where you legitimately fear for your life.
Yeah.
It can't be one of those fights where you're like, yeah, we're going to tussle a little bit, but I'm not too frightened.
I'm sorry.
Or if your brothers, because I will kick James in the nuts. Yeah. If he gets out of line.
I've never.
Like, go cry to mom right now.
I've never landed a kick to the nuts to my brother, and I don't really care to because he'll never fight me again because he knows I'll kill him.
I'll complete the circle and say that I've never sack-tapped my brother.
Yeah.
Hey, how about this? I got a question. What
I have an answer.
What were, or still is, I guess, what is your worst memory of a sack-tap done to yourself?
Oh.
I'll start.
Obviously, you got one in the chamber already.
Bonfire. 2006, 2007. Girlfriend, drunk. I'm bending down to grab a beer out of the cooler, and she comes up to me and she like uppercuts between my legs. And just fucking drops me. And then everybody laughs, and she just fucking takes off running.
Round one. Finished.
Thanks, babe.
Didn't that girl sack tap you multiple times during your relationship,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
And yeah, each time she found it to be hilarious.
Perfect round. Finish him.
That's the worst I've ever had.
It wasn't a sack tap, okay? I just never played that game.
No, it's a horrible game.
I never started
it. If you're playing it,
I never started it, and I never
played it. Stop right now.
But I did play.
There's no good to come of it.
I did play the game where you knee someone in the side of their leg, right?
I hate that.
And so
that's almost worse.
I was deployed at the time, and my buddy Hodge and I were playing this game, and it started out pretty friendly, and then over the course of 2 days,
it always escalated.
It got to a maximum.
It never goes to a good place. That's
so
for
I got
sure.
Hodge kind of good, not like amazing, but I got him. So we're out at break, and you know, I'm just like, I'm standing there, I'm talking to my superior, and I didn't even see Hodge come up because I wasn't paying attention at all. He got me so good, I went down. I fell. Like, I crumpled. I was like the North Tower of...
Whoa.
That's how fast and hard I fell. With such violent velocity.
Wow.
I went down and I laid there for the next 30 minutes on the ground. That's how... I thought he shattered my femur.
I think he shattered it.
It's one of the most painful things I have ever felt. And luckily, I had the next day and a half off. I did not get out of bed. I couldn't even...
Because of that?
The bathrooms were 150 yards away. It took me almost 15 minutes to walk to it. Because wow. I could only go a couple steps. I carried a chair with me. Because I could only go a couple steps. And then I had to sit down. That's how painful it was.
Did you ever get him back?
No, I could never... He was just too good. I never could get him back.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, the joke's on him. He got married and had a kid, so I guess...
Ooh, yeah.
Got him back.
I like that. Joke's on you, motherfucker.
Yeah. Probably my worst sack experience has to be with a bike seat. Like, I went over a bump wrong, and...
Did you just start throwing up?
It was bad, dude.
I racked myself pretty hard, yeah. And all I wanted to do was, like, throw my guts up.
I can't think of a specific experience, but, yeah. Or... Have you ever had the slow burn sack tap where, like, it hits you, but then you don't feel it for about a couple
seconds?
Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, I think I'm fine. You're like, uh-oh. Or you only get the one nut.
Oh. Actually, you know what? I take it back. I did get kicked in the nuts once. I was a freshman in football, and we had a defensive lineman. I'll tell you guys his names later because it'll just make you guys start laughing. But he had just got his foot wrapped in athletic tape, walked out, and he goes, "Hey, freshman," because it was my first varsity game, but it was basically because it was senior night or something. And he nailed me, and I dropped. I started coughing.
That's horrible.
I cried like a tiny, tiny little girl.
That's so horrible.
It was terrible.
Those are things that make high school just like, you're not doing that in normal society.
No. There's no growth there. There's no positive social interaction.
There is in high school, but I mean, like, in any other environment, you'd be cast out like a leper if you did that. But somehow it's just like accepted. I don't know. It's fucking weird. But,
Gary, what are you doing?
So we're.
I'm looking up. My Star Wars trivia.
Hey, so we were talking about brothers in the conversation of sack taps. So let's get to that. I'm going to try to say this really slowly so I can get the pronunciation right. Sibling rivalry.
There is.
Okay,
none.
Now that that's over.
I've already asserted my dominance.
Now that that's over. So we can all share from different experiences. I'm an older brother.
I'm a younger brother, and Gary's a twin brother. This is perfect.
It is. I thought about this. So tell us a little bit about your experiences growing up, and maybe they differ. Maybe they're the same. I don't know. I know with my little brother, I beat him up from time to time. We got in a few Sock and Bopper fights. Popped one on his face once. Yeah, it's the ones where you blew it up and you can stick your fist in it.
Those things are dangerous.
And like the commercial was always like sock 'em boppers, like it's like gonna be playful. It's like no, come on now,
it gets violent. Quick. Yeah,
the only thing I can imagine, like I can imagine you having one of those on, like jumping off like the kitchen table, just like fucking decking your
dropping
little
the people's elbow on.
Yeah. The best part had to be when my dad was going to officiate a sock and bopper fight.
Oh.
So we're all getting ready, and I'm like loosening up the old arm, you know, working a good lather, you know. So he goes, ready, go. And like, I literally just fucking right across the jaw, pop the sock and bopper. My brother goes down, and my dad's just like, okay, that's it.
This is over.
But,
Wait, was this sanctioned by your mom?
Or she had I don't know, man. She might not have been there at the time.
Ain't nobody got time for
that
sanctioning.
Makes sense.
I doubt. I'd imagine she would have raised quite a ruckus if she knew about it. But anyway, so my experience is obviously, I was the inflictor of pain.
You were the dominant person.
Yes.
In this,
right. And
sibling rivalry.
Now that we're older,
I couldn't.
We're both pretty laid back people, so we haven't really had to. Come to blows yet, but he's getting lippy, so this is your warning, Jake.
I like how you said that on the podcast.
Yep.
God damn it, Jake.
All right, Gary, what about you?
Well, being twins, like, we grew up the entire time together. We had our little spats and stuff, like, you know, we always hurt each other, and we go crying after our mom, and be like, James hit me, or Gary hit me, We didn't actually sound like that. That's just me adding
right just
enhance
it, yeah, dramatic effect,
yeah, whatever you gotta tell yourself.
it was pretty peaceful. Like we pretty much like played together the entire time. We didn't have that many difficulties. We always played Dragon Ball Z, running around on the couches.
Kamehameha.
Yeah. Destructo disc.
Nice. I like that right there. It was nice.
In terms of rivalry, I would have to say we the only time we ever like competed, and it wasn't really even a competition because he stole her from me.
Oh. Man,
wow!
Yeah.
So
woman
so
in
it
there.
went much deeper. Than
well,
just
I mean that's really the only thing that like separated us
women.
For quite a bit. Yeah, there was a couple girls. I mean, you're gonna have that like.
That's a know. Good aspect that you don't think about when you have a brother that's 3 years apart from you.
Right.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So the fact that you had one the same age, that comes in like that's a whole nother realm of difficulties that come into play.
For the longest time, I mean, we were able to like share clothes and stuff.
Wow, I thought you were gonna end that sentence so different.
Share what?
Women.
No. Yeah, for the longest
well,
time.
Well, you
kind of
did.
Women.
For the longest time.
but then I grew a gut and he got tall and skinny and now. Nobody can fit into his clothes.
It's true. He's gotten quite skinny.
I think he's.
He's
up
got
to
the
a,
reach on you, though.
He's up to a youth medium right now. I think he just hit that medium. Transition point.
Oh my god,
Matthew.
Well, I mean, my brother beat the shit out of me on a daily basis until I was about. Well, I'm not gonna say beat the shit out of me. That's pretty dramatic. No, Kenny took
definitely
every,
left a lasting impression
Kenny
on you.
Kenny always took the opportunity to remind me that he's 2 years, 9 months, 13 days older than me.
With every fist.
And, yeah. So, Kenny got his shots in, but I think it was sophomore year, high school. It'd been a little while since we'd got into it. And, but I was 15, and I was just finished up the end of wrestling practice, like my first year, but I was coming into my own. And Kenny, I don't even remember what we got into it about, but I remember standing there, and because when I was a kid, when I was little, I mean, Kenny, he had the dominant. I mean, he was a lot stronger, he was taller, you name it. I didn't have a chance, but
smarter,
by this time,
better looking. Should we keep going?
Okay.
Shall I go on?
You could.
No, I'm not going to.
But, I mean, I don't remember what we even got into it about, but I remember standing there, and it just, like, it dawned on me. I'm like,
I can take this guy.
I mean, he's got a gut. I'm pretty sure I could take him.
He had a gut then?
Well, yeah, and he didn't get skinny again.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
But
see,
no,
there's always that strength intersection where it's just like...
Yep. Well, we were evenly matched at this point in time.
Yep.
But I was always a little bit more, well, I wouldn't say always, but I was a little bit more, at the time I was more athletic than Kenny, but we were evenly matched in strength.
Yep.
He was taller, but, so we lock up, and we're going at it, and like, it starts in the kitchen, and it goes into the living room, and in about 5 minutes, I mean, first couple minutes it's even, but then as soon as I could feel Kenny like starting to weaken up, that's when I was like, shit yeah, I'm gonna beat the shit out of him. So
that beautiful moment finally arrives.
Oh, yeah.
For you.
Because it just gave me more.
Years.
It just gave me more adrenaline. I just kept going.
Years of content.
I think about 3.5 minutes later, I had him balled up in a cradle on the living room floor, and I finally, in the first time in my life, I got him to say, "I give up."
Ooh.
I got him to. He didn't quite tap out, but he's like, "All right, I'm done. I'm done."
That's huge.
You know.
That's
and then huge. After that, I let him go. And
that's a milestone right there.
Yeah.
That's when you go to your fucking diary and you're just like,
"Oh,
your
yeah.
diary."
I had to.
Today, the greatest thing happened.
Yep. Exactly. Dear diary, yeah. I took the key off around my neck and I unlocked it.
Jake, you will never get that satisfaction ever.
But yeah, I mean, that was ever since then, though. Kenny and I never really got into it, partly because I think he knows I'd just kill him.
I got a question for you. At what point, like, what did you feel on the inside at the point where Kenny surpassed you in the ability to throw darts? Like, how did that make you feel?
I like how we went to darts.
I don't think Kenny can beat me in cricket, but I can beat him in 301.
I'm just trying to like.
So I mean, I don't
stomp
think,
on your toes.
I don't think he really ever surpassed me. He was better than me for a while, but as soon as I started throwing regularly, I caught right up to him.
And then he had a baby, and he stopped playing darts.
Well, he quit.
And you've since
darts,
retired.
Yeah. Yes. That's what happens, kids.
I lost my darts, by the way. I mean, $200 worth of darts.
That's
I don't,
not good.
They're around somewhere, I hope.
They're somewhere under all those fizzy pops.
Yeah. No. That's crazy you said that, too, because I was looking for them while I was cleaning out my room today
yeah.
and did not find them. So I'm pretty sure I got drunk and left them at a bar somewhere again. Don't worry. I'll find them
man.
A year and a half later.
So speaking of getting drunk and going to bars.
Acting a fool.
What you gonna do?
What I originally intended to talk about when we had the few suds that bled into bubble conversation, which is fine. I want to talk a little bit about the next day. You get two options. You only get to pick one. You wake up, had a few too many, not feeling too great. What is the first thing? You can either do one of these two things. Brush your teeth, or take a shower. What do you choose?
Shower.
Well, see,
I want the full body feeling.
No, the first... See,
I can gargle in the shower.
I only get those two options?
Well, here's my thing. Yes.
Because I feel like the first thing I do is I walk upstairs, I do damage control, and then I drink a big glass of water, pop some leaves, and then I'm off to either shower, which... Sometimes I don't even do after a hard night of drinking. Like, I haven't showered yet today.
Well,
that's
exactly.
I haven't really gone anywhere.
Well, let's talk. Well, I just mentioned those two things
you
because those
ladies?
Are the two things you
he hasn't
do.
Hasn't even showered today.
Looking good.
Smells so fresh
smelling
and so clean.
Awful.
Fresh and so clean, clean.
But no, those are the two things you do to get clean, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, I have to brush my teeth. I could brush my teeth, and right now, I haven't showered either since last night. I feel fine. I can push through, but the fuzzy teeth, man,
yeah.
can't do it.
I don't know. I mean, that's not my routine. I got to get up. If it's been a hard night drinking, first thing is I got to exercise some demons into the toilet. That's just what's got to happen. I don't know what it is. Well, if I'm drinking liquor, I'm going to wake up. I'm just going to feel like a big ball of shit anyways. But if it's beer, I don't know why, but that's what it's called.
See, mine never comes right away. It's always like 2 hours later. Is when I have to go and take care of business.
Yeah. Not me, dude.
2 hours after I wake up.
I wake up 2 or 3 minutes. It's just like, knock, knock, knock. Get there.
get there.
But so you would choose brush your teeth then over shower?
If I had those two options?
Yes.
Shower.
Wow. No going bro. With fuzzy teeth.
No. Well, morning in breath. The shower, I can gargle the water.
It's not the same.
I know it's not the
it's
same.
It's not anywhere close to being the same.
I want the full body feeling before I...
It's like
I
can, sticking your mouth underneath the sink going...
You know,
yeah, I'm good.
Better than nothing.
The other day, I was running a little late, and hot I was water, brushing man. My teeth, and I was like, I really need to get in the shower. So I went into the shower brushing my teeth. First, I want to ask
never
this.
Been a big fan of teeth brushing while showering. I don't know why.
I've never done it.
I think I
shaving
think,
and showering is awesome.
I like yes. it because like you can just like, you know, open your mouth and just like spit it, like drool all over yourself. It's a lot less cleanup or a lot more. I don't fucking know.
Is this so time. Hard for you before?
No fuss, no muss.
It saves time. I do have to say you cannot store your toothbrush in the shower.
Yeah, that's gross.
So it's gotta shit. Be within arm's reach.
Well, I've got this little shower caddy, it's got a little thing for it. So
a toothbrush?
Like, yeah, it's got a toothbrush holder on it.
Now, the thing is, this is my only toothbrush, and I got in there, and I brushed my teeth, and I, like, get done, and I go to, like, set it out. Like, I'm going to, like, step out of the shower, and I fucking drop it on the shower floor.
Right.
It's over, man. Right, get yeah. a new one.
There is no rule to that. There's no second
one.
Rule. Like,
there's a rule. Get a new one.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You take your happy ass to Walmart.
Yep.
I don't care if you have fucking, like...
No,
or something.
Get a new one.
Yeah. There's no cleaning that. Yeah.
I don't know what it's been like, but for the past like 3 years, I would say, I don't know if it's a germaphobe thing, but I don't like to leave my toothbrush in the bathroom. I don't know if it's just because the toilet swirls around or something. I get this thing in my head that germs are on it. I either put it in my room or I have actually what I'm doing now is I have this little like cap for the head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah.
Well, I put mine inside of a medicine cabinet, so...
Yeah,
I also
that
have,
helps, too.
I also have, like, a plastic tote yep. on the left side of my sink that I put it in. I don't ever leave it out in the air.
Well, yeah. that's a good open. Idea, too, because, I mean, a lot of people don't realize it, but when you flush a toilet...
Like, it's 6 or 8 feet,
it's,
huh?
It's like an explosion of micro-fucking-bacteria particles
exactly
all
what
over
I
your
was thinking
bathroom.
About. I so, think about that shit now.
That's,
I don't want to.
I mean, you're not going to get sick or anything from it because it's not enough.
Clearly, yeah.
But it's still just the thought of it.
Oh, yep. It adds that little, like, tang to your morning.
Don't
you hate when you get, once you, like, find out stuff like that, you just can't remove it from
you
your brain?
I learned that little fact, and I don't even know if it's a fact, but it was from Bones.
Source anyways, material right there,
right
Bones.
There. But it's written by an actual, like, Doctor chick.
Yeah,
I forget her name. Kathy something.
I think they also did that.
Kathy
on,
Bones.
No, close.
I don't want to say MythBusters, but I saw a show where they like tested shit like that.
Yeah.
All right. So are we good and worked into the program? We could start Matt on a rant.
Yep. Let's go.
All right,
hold on,
Matt.
Let me get comfortable.
I'm fueled up.
Okay.
Might
here
want
you
to
go.
Turn down your stereo right now, listeners.
Let me, crack my knuckles.
No one even has stereos anymore.
All right, good. Get in a good resting position.
Achieved.
I gotta recline.
Achieved.
Matthew.
You don't have to say my full name. Come on.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Matthew.
Wait, before
okay,
before
Matthew.
We do this, can I do Star Wars trivia?
Yes. Let's all do. Right. Actually, give him the question, and when I get done with my rant, we'll come back to it.
Okay.
Give him some time.
Yeah,
to
that sounds. That actually sounds like a great idea.
Here's the question. Everybody knows the iconic, like, what do I want to call them? Pawns.
Yeah, we'll let the listeners decide that.
Start over, Gary. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
I was
not.
Being rude as shit. All
right. The iconic pawns of the Empire.
The stormtroopers.
Okay. Now put that in. What do they fly?
Troop carriers?
They fly TIE fighters, man.
TIE fighters.
Okay.
TIE fighters. What does TIE stand for? T-I-E. T-I-E fighter.
Is that the question?
That is the question.
Because okay. They look like bow ties.
No.
No? Did I get that wrong?
That is totally wrong.
So you're saying
close.
That they don't look like bow ties?
It has nothing. I'll,
I'm
I'll
saying
tell you,
they could be a futuristic bow tie.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it has really nothing to do with
like,
appearance.
If you were to tie a hunk of
fine.
Several thousand pounds of futuristic metal.
So while I'm working my way through this little mystery, Matt.
Okay.
Government spying. Overblown or underblown?
Oh, it's way underblown. Are you kidding me? I mean, here's what actually bothers me. It doesn't surprise me at all our government spies on us. And if anybody believes that, oh, we're just spying on the rest of the world, not you guys, you're a fucking idiot. Just go ahead and stop listening to this program now.
The government's probably listening to this program as we speak.
But here's
extremely bored.
Yeah, exactly.
But here, by the way, government, go rate us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah, please. FBI,
follow us on Twitter.
Stars.
If you're the man. You're but no, the silly part is people know about the Patriot Act, but what they don't realize is that there's all these other fucking bills they get passed in secret congresses, in secret late night legislations. They sail through without any oversight or approval or any kind of transparency. And these are laws. Like, these are, you can go to jail for a law that you physically are not allowed, not physically, but literally are not allowed to know that even exists.
Late night Congress sounds
and
sexy.
They can put your ass in a little hole like a for the rest of your life. Like, this whole thing about Snowden, okay? This dude is a fucking hero, okay? In my eyes, he's a fucking hero.
Let's get some background on that Snowden guy.
Okay, he was a low-level analyst for, I believe, the CIA or the NSA, and he leaked that the NSA are listening basically to everyone. Right now, he's stuck in a transit hub in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, he's not in Russia, but he's not technically in any other country either. And he's trying to get passed to Argentina. I believe it's a South American, Ecuador maybe. Or I'm whatever those little facts don't really matter. What matters is our government wants to prosecute him for treason.
Yeah.
For telling the American people that their own government is listening to it and recording all the metadata on them. To me, you know, when the government starts telling like newspapers and media outlets what they can and cannot publish or tell the people. That's when shit is, it's actually already too far gone.
Yeah,
no fixing this.
It's happening as we speak. It's happened for years and years and years.
Orwellian. Okay, and say what you want, but like, there's no fixing this. There's only one fix, and that's a reset. And it's not going to happen in our lifetime.
Now, I got a question. With the ways that, like, governments, like, spy on their citizens or keep track of them, how far does it go to where, like, because they're obviously going to be using, like, national security the reason. Like,
we gotta stop terrorists. We gotta stop terrorists. That's why we need to search your 4-year-old daughter at an airport. You know, physically.
Terrorists. Do you think Great Britain has gone too far with all the CCTV cameras?
Well, you know what? Great Britain has the same fucking programs that are set up here in the NSA, except for they don't have as much of a transparent, or I'm not even going to say our government's transparent, but at least shit gets out, you know. But, I mean, maybe, who knows? It's every single government is doing it. I mean, every major power in the world is doing this. This is not just America.
Would you rather have your government watching you all the time or listening to you all the time?
Neither.
Well, I mean, obviously.
If I had it my way, like.
But if you had one of those two choices.
Watching or listening?
Watching or listening.
And recording, obviously, I guess that's the point.
Yes, both. And they kept a file on you of either everything they read or listen to you on, or footage for like your entire life. Let's say from like here on out. What would you rather want them to have?
I guess I'd rather have them recording me, because that could be a lot more interpretational.
Like, but, you're talking like listening in, aren't you?
Yeah. Let's get this straight. So far as we know it, they're not actually recording like literally what we're saying or whatever, or what we're writing over the internet. But what they are recording are who you call, when you call them, how many times you call them, the metadata, how long the
conversation was,
the conversation lasts, so on, etc. All the data except for the actual meat of it. But it's everything that really does matter, though. And somehow that's protecting us from terrorists.
Hmm.
The terrorists that we created in the 80s.
Yes, by giving them guns.
And training them. So on and so forth.
We've created a monster.
Yep.
Kyle?
Okay, so here's what we know, right? The government spies on us. Or keeps some type of data on us. There is some shady things that happen that we do probably don't know about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. My thing is, I don't think it's to the evil intent that people take it. Like, I don't think that they're somewhere in a dark room plotting against the citizens of the United States.
Do you think with all this information that they're collecting, do you think it will be able to be used against us if, like, we were ever prosecuted for, like, a crime or something? Like, oh, well, I mean, we gathered this information that you called this guy,
I think
10 times during this week of, 2012, and that right there proves to you you're guilty. You think it would be upheld in a court of law, even though they obtained it illegally?
Oh, no, it's not illegal.
Well,
don't get that confused. What they're doing is 100% legal.
We just didn't know about it.
Exactly.
I think 9 times out of 10, if you're being prosecuted for something, it's because you were doing something wrong anyway. So having that data there just reinforces the fact that you were committing an illegal act.
So the WikiLeaks guy, the private whatever his name,
Julian Assange.
Yeah, he did. No, that's the founder of WikiLeaks.
Oh, the guy that leaked
the private or whatever his name is who leaked it.
No, that's why I said 9 out of 10 times it usually happens. But there are those times when they're actually monitoring terrorist cells, and you're saying that you don't want that information used against someone like that?
I'm saying that it's so few and far between that
I really think their monitoring efforts go towards people that are actually committing acts that are trying to hurt the United States. Of course, we can all agree that there are things that the government does that are shady. But I believe that ultimately the government is just a huge mafia and all they care about is money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in their best interest to hold us in prisons. It's in their best interest to rape us for as much money as they can possibly get out of us. So that's kind of my opinion. I just think government is just a huge collection agency. Like, they just want you to keep you docile and want you to keep producing.
Yeah.
And want you to keep part of society. It's
well,
not.
You have to play your role in society.
Yeah, and I'm just not on board with this whole thing that the government is actively plotting against us.
Well, what I meant by Orwellian is I meant the whole, like, they want to control every aspect of your life.
Okay, then that's a different conversation.
There's
then.
A lot of people that are okay with, well, if they're going to protect us from the terrorists, I'm okay with giving up a little bit more of my freedom. Well, you know what? More people die in fucking shower accidents every year than have ever been killed by quote-unquote terrorism, all right? It's just a fucking hot-button word that they made up to keep the fucking sheep scared, so they'll, okay, whatever, I just, as long as I can get my fucking Big Mac and drive my SUV to my fucking, shitty job, and as long as we keep the status quo, as long as it changes slow enough that I don't notice it, but each generation loses a little bit more ground. To me, that's what's going on. And I'm no genius I'm not the fucking first person to say this or notice it,
right?
Or whatever. I mean, literally millions of people know this stuff. This isn't.
Well, let's look at it on a smaller scale. Do you guys feel that any of your rights have been slowly diminished in any way since 9/11?
Absolutely.
You personally?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think my right to travel freely has been totally diminished.
In what way?
I should not be fucking physically assaulted if I want to fly. And that's what I see it as. Whether you're X-raying someone, which, let's not even get going down that fucking road, because that's a whole other fucking tub of worms. But, so, like, say they don't have an X-ray machine. I mean, I'm okay with them letting them look at my luggage. And I'm okay with not taking off my jacket to clearly show, like, whatever. But when you have to start fucking getting down to your underwear, whatever, I mean, eventually you have to just say to yourself, okay, there's bad people out there, and you're not going to be able to stop everyone, okay? If you had to go through, the same thing to get on an airplane that you would, if you had to do what you have to do to get on an airplane to go into the bank and make your weekly deposit, people would be fucking outraged.
Yeah.
So how does that business guy feel that has to fly 5 times a week? Can you imagine that? That's ridiculous.
I better tell.
But that's a small enough group of people that they just have to fucking bite it because they don't have a big enough voice.
Well, it just comes down to what you were saying, that when you make incremental changes in someone's life, they're not going to see that. Mm-hmm. So if all of us just came together and basically said, no, we're not going to be x-rayed, if everyone did that, then it would change.
Exactly. But you have enough people that are such fucking sheeple.
Yeah.
They're so afraid of
sheeple. I like
the
that.
Possibility of something that is so remotely impossible. Not impossible, but remotely not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, you know, it's the terrorists are going to get... No. Listen, you should be afraid about, like, making sure you have clean drinking water. And making sure that you, like, take all your antibiotics, because that's the shit that's going to fucking kill you. It's not going to, you know, eating a Big Mac every day is what's going to kill you. You ain't going to be the fucking terrorist, you know, and it's like this whole gun rights shit, you know, people, they're trying to take our guns. Yeah, maybe so, but that's because you voted these fuckers, right? You let them do this. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yeah, people don't take responsibility.
All right, that's enough of the fucking serious shit. Let's get back to the what's the answer for the Star Wars trivia there, Gary? TIE Fighter. I'm gonna take a guess at Trooper Intercept something. Interceptor. I don't know. Extraordinaire.
This is where I went with it. TIE Fighters, bow ties, Thai food, Asia, fortune cookies. That's all I got.
I mean, you're getting warmer.
TIE Fighters.
But not really.
The first word of it?
Twin.
Twin ion. Does it end with E or does it end with Y?
E.
Or is it T-Y?
T-I-E.
It's T-I-E. Twin. ion.
Engine.
Yep, there it is.
Twin ion engine.
Wow, shot in the dark.
Very nice. You guys put your guys' fucking brain matter together.
That's right.
That's created the correct answer.
Sounds nasty.
That's impressive.
Sounds nasty.
What? All right, what's next?
Matt, rant about face and body shapes.
Face and body shapes. Okay, so I have this theory that there's about 15... give or take. I mean, it kind of depends, but... kind of takes in cultural differences and stuff, but there's about 15 different generic like face shapes, and I look at this kind of like RPGs, you know, where you can like pick your race or characters.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Customize your character.
Yeah, exactly.
Customize your girlfriend.
Or so... create a character. Create a girlfriend.
Never get laid.
So you have people like, you have like the normal, like, yeah, okay, so I'm just gonna talk about
the normal. Okay,
hang on. What's normal? Hang on.
I'm joking.
Whoa, buddy, pump the brakes there.
Let me get here. All right, so you have the guy that has like the blockhead with the really strong squared off jaw, right?
Kind of like you.
Exactly.
Johnny Bravo.
All right, exactly. Johnny Bravo. So then you also have guys that have the really rounded head and like no jaw. That's really common. Then you have people that have what I refer to as bird-like faces, where they're very, very angular and very very aerodynamic. Like, I don't know how else to say it other than they look like they...
If that person was falling...
If they were falling, the sky, they would break the sound barrier.
They would go faster.
They would be piercing the air.
And the other people.
I want an example of each of these.
I can't give, like... I don't know names of people off the top of my
Birdface, head. Birdface? Michael Cera?
Yeah, Mike, definitely. Okay, yep. Michael Cera's got a... He's got a very angular, sharp... It just looks sharp. I don't know how else to say it.
Round face? I don't know. Round. Michael Chiklis? Or...
Yeah, Michael Chiklis. Okay, yeah. He's got a real rounded face, and he doesn't... I mean, he's got a jaw, but it's not a super strong jaw.
Right.
So, but when I think of, like, blockhead, super angular and shit, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, that's a... I'm not saying he's an idiot or anything. I know people use blockhead as, like... I'm just saying, like, it's a very... The sides of his head from, like, the middle of his jaw up is just straight up and down. All right? It's just, you could put a plum in that.
I just find this interesting because I feel like you've taken the superficial nature to such an extreme. It's not even superficial anymore. Like, you're breaking it down into ones and
zeros. Science and
geometry.
Yeah,
in ones and zeros,
well, here,
pretty much.
I think here's where the origin of this comes from for me. When I was in high school, I did a lot of portraits. I used to draw a lot. And the easiest way to learn how to draw is to break things down into their most basic shapes. Well, a human body can be broken down into rectangles, circles, and triangles, period. And you can get a lot of detail just from that without adding a lot of stuff. You know, there's other things that make people different. You know, the little things like where the eyebrows are, the spacing between your eyes.
Whether or not they have eyebrows.
Yeah, how big your schnoz are, you know, stuff like that. But the basic shape of people's heads varies wildly. Well, not wildly, but, like, you can't tell me that you don't know the shape of an Asian person's face. That sounds super, like, racist, but they have, an almond... Or especially, like, Asian women, they have, like, almost an almond-shaped, like, face. And this is just, like, a front-on view. I really don't want to break it down profile-wise. that generally looks the same. But, like, front-on, it's just, that's what it is. I don't know, I mean...
What do you find most pleasing?
I find a lot of different ones. I mean, I don't say, like, one...
What about body? Let's go to body shapes.
Body shapes. Okay.
What did you describe at the bar the other night? Her middle section was very weird.
Amoeba-like?
I feel like Matt's like writing code or something. Like when he's talking about women, he's like, man, I don't know, that middle section, this is all fucked up.
Well, once
those headers and footers, man. I'm not liking those.
She's got quite the footer, if you know what I mean.
No, actually, I don't.
She gives great header.
Oh, she gives a great header. But
you really put me on the spot here. Yeah. I don't know, like, you know, some, like a lot of guys have that really blocky build, but there's also guys that have the reverse hourglass, so instead of, like, they start narrow at the top, like, narrow shoulders and a tiny little head, and then they obviously get really wide, and then they have, like, you know, obviously their feet are next to each other. So, I mean, there's that kind of shape, and I mean, part of it is due to, like, lifestyle and whatever, but some people, like, no matter what they do, like, that's what they're gonna look like. Some guys are always gonna be that, like, they look like pillars. And then some guys are always going to have that, like, slender man look, kind of like your brother.
Oh, Holocaust survivor?
Yeah, games? Exactly. And, like, no matter what they do, like, that's what they're going to look like.
So, yeah.
And, you know.
Like, I don't think it's even possible for James to get fat at all.
Yeah, he just, yeah.
I think he has a tapeworm.
You know, I think in some countries, they'll actually give you a medical-grade tapeworm.
No, it's,
I've heard about this.
Yeah, I've heard
about it. I don't know if it's true, but...
People, like, ingesting tapeworms to lose weight.
But they're, like, specifically, like, they're genetically engineered, like, in labs. Because certain tapeworms carry terrible diseases with them, right? But it's kind of like medical-grade maggots. Like, this sounds gross as shit, but they still use them in burn victims. They'll put, like, special cast on them. Because a maggot, or whatever the fucking grub worm that they use, it will only eat dead flesh. It won't touch anything alive, which is actually kind of amazing if you think about it.
That is.
That they can discern at almost the cellular level, what is alive, what is not alive. But, Yeah, I think they do have, but you don't want to just go around eating tapeworms. That's, they get crazy long. And,
thank God you said that, because I was just about to step out of this house and just and, go to town on some tapeworms.
The sickest part about tapeworms, though, is that at night, when you're sleeping, they stick the back end of them out of your butt to breathe.
Yep.
It's really gross.
That's, all right. Yeah.
How do we even get on that topic?
I don't know.
Hey, like Matt.
Body shapes.
Matt, rant about famous athletes at nightclubs.
They shouldn't go to nightclubs. Why are they going to nightclubs?
I don't know, man. I agree with you.
Are they supposed to just go to run and mill bar?
Okay.
No, they need to go home and play Xbox.
They need to. Yeah, they need to just go home for the like 10 to 15 years or however long their fucking career is.
Yeah.
And then once they're done like with professional sports and making millions of
dollars, all bets are off.
Then they can just go and do fucking mountains of coke. No one's gonna give a shit.
Don't move until you're numb.
But when fantasy leagues are on the line,
get in there, baby.
This is why we're talking about
people.
This. Don't, it's for our benefit, not for them.
It always comes down to you.
Whatever, dude.
How you're affected.
They're fucking gladiators in an arena, and they're there to entertain you. That's why they get paid.
Are you not entertained?
That's why they get paid what they get fucking paid.
I'm
not going to stand here and be like, oh, well, they deserve to have a normal life. No, they get paid millions of dollars for being good at a sport.
A kid's game?
Yeah.
A kid's game? Whoa. Come on.
They retire when they're, they're considered
I'm not taking
old.
Away from what they do. I'm just saying that the game isn't curing cancer.
Exactly. They can put on all the fucking pink bandanas they want. I mean, it's not going to make a difference.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Well, like, it can help in some ways, but in the end, like you said, like, what is football contributing to society? Like, maybe it's helping
an escape
people
for us
that would otherwise be poor or on welfare or in jail.
It's just an escape. That's all it is.
Well, what about you? If you became a famous athlete, which is quite the stretch.
Thank you.
Well, I was just more specifically talking about Gary than anyone.
Oh, I know. I'm not becoming a famous athlete.
No, I meant it's not much of a stretch for us, but for Gary it would be. Because Gary's quite unathletic.
Yeah, I've never actually seen Gary do much of any sports.
No.
Other than disc golf.
Some frothing.
Yeah, what the hell is frothing? You know.
I've seen him play ultimate frisbee.
I bet you could be a mean curler, though. Like, you got that.
He does like to clean.
You got the grace. You got grace.
He does like to clean. Yeah, I'd be the guy pushing the broom around.
He knows his way around a broom.
Dude, those are some scrubbing sons of bitches.
Yeah, I know. My arms get real tired.
But like, if I became a famous athlete and was paid millions of dollars. The only thing that would really suck is the fact that you basically have to be on guard at all times of just women.
Yeah.
Because all they want to do is...
Well, all men should be on guard of women of all times, period.
Right, but... but it's actually, like, very low risk for us compared to these athletes, right?
Yeah, Yeah, those are some gold-digging sons of bitches.
So, that always sucks, because here you are, this famous strapping athlete, and yet you're probably not having sex that much, because...
Well, look at what's-his-face, the guy that married one of the Kardashians, and then...
I don't know, explain his face shape to me.
It's very round and oblong.
But what would you do? I mean, I would sit at home and fucking play Xbox, and I would keep myself fucking out of...
Yeah, I don't think I'd go out in the public a lot. Like, I would just fucking, you know, throw a bunch of parties in my mansion. Or...
See, that's hard, too, though. That can get you into trouble, too.
People die there, too. Just the same.
Well, no, because I wouldn't invite, like, just anybody. I wouldn't have, like, a guest list. It would be, like, my teammates.
Yeah.
My old friends, like...
There you go.
Just like last night, like,
well, that's where they get
just
in trouble.
Like last
though.
Night.
My friends were cool.
That's where they get in trouble ones. Though. They like they bring people Ugh. From their old life.
Hey, dude, you want to do diamond push-ups?
What was his name? Jeff Green.
Jeff Green. Is that what we're calling him now?
I hope you hear this
Who?
Podcast.
I don't know, dude. Just major douche chills.
Is this the guy I took off before?
That's the guy that's doing diamond push-ups. Oh. And he was challenging others to do diamond pushups with
him. Trying to change the beer pong rules when it's not even his house.
Yeah. Does he understand house rules?
Well, apparently not. I mean, it's in the title. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Like, his rules are so fucked up.
I totally forgot you lived here, man. Sorry.
Is that not how they played it, though, at D-Bag University? Or?
That must be.
Well, see, it's hard to argue with that.
I think we all can agree on beer pong rules, right?
I don't even really.
We all
like,
have the same ones, right?
Yeah, we're all pretty close. Albeit like one or two minor rules.
What's the ones that
piss me off are fucking on fire. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah.
NBA Jam rules, I just want to fucking go around punching everyone in the face.
It's fun sometimes.
Just to clarify, NBA Jam rule states that after an individual hits a cup three cups in a row, they can shoot till they miss.
Yes.
Correct.
Stupid as hell.
And I hate it because it basically takes your teammate out of the equation.
Yeah, basically. I really don't even care to play beer pong anymore. It's just, I played it so much that it's just like, whatever. I like playing Civil War now.
It used to be...
Civil War's fun.
It used to be like what we all did when we got together.
Exactly.
And drink. It would be like beer pong every weekend. And now, I'd say we play it here probably once every 3 months.
It's fun now because I don't play it as much. Like, it's every once in a while. It's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I find myself on the table a lot. And, like, if I'm winning, I'm just like, man, I really wish I was just, like, out mingling instead of stuck on this table.
Sometimes, definitely.
It is
always exciting, though, when you get a bunch of people around a beer pong table.
Yeah.
And they're just yelling and...
Well, I like playing, like, four-on-four.
Taking your shirt off.
Like, full table. That, to me, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. For about the first hour and a half.
I mean, 288 beers is a lot to work through. So...
Yeah, this podcast was a lot to work through, too. But we got to wrap it up.
Fine.
Shit, what are we at?
What are we at?
It doesn't matter what we're at.
Yeah.
Every week we ask what we're at. Does it matter? No, we're
I know,
under
but
an
it's
hour.
Fun.
That's all. All
right.
All right, fine.
And that concludes another episode.
All right, guys. Well, have a good weekend.
Yeah.
And hopefully enjoyed the little preview.
We have a little 4th of July thing to send you off with.
No.
Yeah, we'll send them off.
We'll send them off with it?
We'll cut it in.
Okay.
I'm just telling you right now, it's one of the greatest speeches ever given in cinema history.
It is.
Hey,
Matt gave me this speech at the bar about a month ago, and I was just like, we're putting that in our podcast come 4th of July, because that was amazing. Like, I had tears.
Remember, throw the firework. Don't hold the firework.
Yeah.
All right, guys. You guys stay safe.
By.
Enjoy your freedom.
Spitballs of fire!
Stay classy.
Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.